Hi, this is Carrie Brown, and you're listening to the Business Report on 88.5 WFDD, a partnership with the Triad Business Journal. A report released earlier this month by the Pew Charitable Trust extolled the virtues of a new cash crop in North Carolina. Here's a hint. It's not hogs or chickens, tobacco or soybeans. WFDD contributor Justin Cadenoso gives the answer in his column this week in the Business Journal, and he joins me now. Welcome, Justin.
Hello, Carrie.
Okay, Justin, let's get right to the point. What's this new cash crop?
It's solar energy, and that's new, right? But what's really new is the realization now that North Carolina is a national leader in harvesting energy for homes and industry from the sun. And the Pew Charitable Trust, this report that it put out a few weeks ago, really drives this point home. So, for example, our state didn't have a single solar farm just 7 years ago. But now it trails only California and Arizona in overall solar capacity, and we're third in private investment in renewable energy with some $1.2 billion invested just last year, nearly all of that in solar power.
How many solar farms do we have in North Carolina?
Well, at the moment, we have about 100, and they're generating enough energy to actually light more than 50,000 homes. So think of a town the size of Burlington or Chapel Hill, completely powered by solar energy. And believe it or not, like that's the fifth highest capacity in the country right now with solar energy.
One of the largest solar farms in the state is here in the Triad, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's in Davidson County near Linville, and it's been in for several years now. It covers some 200 acres. It has 63,000 of these photovoltaic panels, and it's generating 17 megawatts of power. And to kind of put that into context, that's enough to power and light about 2,600 homes. But the big thing is that with all that power being generated and going into the grid, it's all bought by Duke Energy, it's actually reducing carbon emissions on an annual basis of some 32 million pounds of carbon that's not going up into the air.
You know, it's possible that listeners are surprised to hear that North Carolina ranks far above so many Deep South and Sun Belt states when it comes to solar energy. How did this happen?
Well, I think the important thing to note is that it wasn't an accident. I mean, this was really a part of a policy on behalf of the legislature back in 2007. So back then, that's when North Carolina became the very first southeastern state to adopt these renewable energy and energy efficiency portfolio standards. So for example, electric co-ops and municipal utilities are required to get 10% of their electricity from renewable sources or efficiency improvements by 2018. And large utilities like Duke Energy, and this has had a big impact, they have to get 12.5% of their sales from similar sources by 2021. Now, they've already hit a lot of that capacity. So this energy is already being fed into the grid.
Now, at the moment, energy prices are falling for natural gas, oil, and coal. Is this going to stall solar energy's momentum in the state or the country?
You know, it's possible. So these energy prices are coming down. We can see it at the gas pump. It's not likely that they're going to stay down for long, at least not for years. And the efficiency and costs of solar energy, these solar panels, is coming down all the time. And it's just making it a lot more viable and a lot more palatable for even smaller companies and individuals to be looking at installing these kinds of solar systems.
Justin, you write about an institution in the Triad that has gone solar because of its concern for both costs and the environment.
Yeah, we're talking about Guilford College. There are more than 200 solar panels on that campus, and it pretty much heats all the hot water that is used in both the dorms and the food services places on that campus. So what they did there several years ago is they aligned themselves with a company called FLS Energy out of Asheville, which installed all these solar panels for free. Guilford College then purchases that energy to heat its water on campus at a vastly reduced rate. So it's saving a lot of money, and it's also putting a lot less carbon up into the air because it's not getting electricity from a coal or gas-fired power plant here in the state.
There are a lot of alternatives out there. Who should consider switching to solar energy to supplement their energy supply?
Well, it's a good question, and this is something I try to get into in my column. Anyone that is generating a lot of hot water. So we're talking about restaurants, we're talking about colleges and universities, hotels, hospitals. They can really see a pretty big cost savings if they go to this solar thermal like Guilford College did. For the individual homeowner, You know, it's a different kind of calculation. If you're willing to wait anywhere from 8 to 12 years for your payback and then costs go down really, really low, looking at solar to provide a complement to your energy supply is a pretty good idea. And again, keep in mind, all these prices are coming down as efficiency is going up. So the solar power mix in this state and in our communities is only going to rise in the coming years.
Thanks for being here, Justin.
Thank you, Carrie.
To read Justin Catanoso's story and more breaking business news from the region, go to the Triad Business Journal online at triadbizjournals.com. For 88.5 WFDD News, I'm Carrie Brown.